All right, I got it. Good evening.
Good evening. Can you just introduce yourself, please?
Krista Tracy, Director of Elections.
So you're going to have to talk right into that mic. Sorry.
That's better.
That's perfect. So go ahead and reintroduce yourself. I apologize.
Krista Tracy, Director of Elections.
Alrighty. Does anyone have any questions regarding the Board of Canvassers budget? Councilman Lattiser?
Hello, Director.
Hello.
So, same questions. Are there any new positions in your department?
No.
Are there any raises beyond contractual in your department?
Yes.
And what would that be?
For myself, the director.
That's beyond contractual?
Just regular contractual for the staff. And there is a 1% step increase for one of the staff.
How long have you been with the Board of Canvassers?
I'm going to be 2 years this July.
2 years. And I'm seeing in the personnel supplement that there is a significant raise in that department. Let me just get to that.
Sure.
Councilman Bill Fazenti, Chief of Staff. So the clerk of the Board of Canvassers, Ms. Tracy's position, the salaries are set by the board. They asked for an increase to Krista's salary. They voted on it, passed it. So that's what there's an increase. And that's set by state law, that the boards can control the salary of the clerk, the elections officials.
So the board can control the salaries.
Correct. And
does that, are you insinuating that the city council has to approve that and can't overrule that?
I'm not an attorney. All I'm saying is it's in state law that the Board of Canvassers, the board members, set the salaries and the increases for the members of that department.
And that increase was over contractual.
It was $10,000. I have a chart, if you'd like, of all the ones that are not, to save time.
Okay, so this budget as a whole is here for us to approve, and each item in the budget is before us to approve or disprove.
Again, not an attorney. State law dictates that the board set the compensation for the election officials.
Okay. Fair enough. And the reason on 17495, I'll be just looking to verify what the legalese is regarding whether the city council has or doesn't have authority over spending. On 17495, primary election expense, for fiscal year 2025, it's projected at $74,610. And in fiscal year 2026, it's projected out for $55,000. Is that assuming that we may have a special election?
A special or a state election, exactly.
Okay. And how did you or your team come up with the number of 55,000?
That's based on actually previous special elections. They're generally smaller elections than regular general election.
Sure.
Usually only 9 polls are open, so it's reduced.
So it's what, please? I'm sorry.
That's how you would, the poll worker salaries go down, rental fees for polls go down. We'd only have 9 versus the 34 poll locations open.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. That's sure. All the questions I have.
Councilman Muto.
Just a quick question.
Sure.
On the same lines, obviously you have the primary cost in there, but during the fiscal year, we're not, is there a general election schedule, that 55,000?
No, as a rule of thumb, I like to budget for two special elections because we could have our own city election. The state could, for example, in 21, they had a question to change the name of the state, and you would need funds if the state needed to hold an election as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I would hope that aside from the possibility of a special election this summer, that we wouldn't have necessarily two special elections in a given fiscal year outside of the regularly scheduled elections, but I understand that that can't be necessarily controlled or predicted. So the two line items, 55,000 each, just to make sure that I'm clear and understanding that, that would not, neither one of those would have anything to do with the regularly scheduled elections for September and November of 2026, because those would be part of fiscal year 2027, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other members of the council have any questions for Board of Canvassers? Any members of the public have any questions for Board of Canvassers? Seeing none, we'll move on to the Finance Department. It's on page 12.
There are two personnel changes in the Finance Department. One, we have budgeted for added duties and responsibilities to a current employee to be the secretary of the School Budget Commission. That is being paid out of here. We also have a small amount of money for temp. That is so Peter Schaefer can come and advise us as we move forward.
Councilman Lattiser. I preempted it. That's why I chuckled. Sorry.
Sure, I think I'll just leave it on, Mr. President. save you a couple minutes here and there. Director, you said a small amount. Which job, two job codes, I think you mentioned. Which two job codes are you referring to?
Job code 475. It's a Secretary School Budget Commission.
And?
This is being paid to somebody who works in our Economic Development Department.
Is that a new position?
It is a new position. It's really kind of an add-on to a current position. The employee actually works in the Economic Development Department, but she's agreed to take on the role of the secretary as well.
Hold on. It's stuck in my head. This is an add-on to another position?
Correct.
What's the other position?
She works in Economic Development. I don't remember the title. But this person's a full-time employee who's working nights and doing added work for the Budget Commission.
So this is an increase in that particular
correct
person mm-hmm. of $10,786.
Correct.
And that is because of the additional duties with the Budget Commission?
Correct.
Okay. That's one person?
Yes.
Got it. What was the other one?
Temp services. There's no actual job code here. This is so that we have some money to bring our former finance director in to consult us as we go through the bonding for the schools.
You're going to need it. The other than that, there are no additional salary increases other than contractual or longevity?
Only contractual.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Councilman Muto.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you. Just a quick question on the contingency line. Obviously, I know what contingency is, but it seems like we went up dramatic amount, 64,000.
Yeah, actually, so this line, contingency, I'm not going to define that for you. One of the big items this year was actually something the mayor brought up at the beginning. We actually have to back pay some rent for that station for the fire department. And it's actually been budgeted coming out of contingency, which is why we want to open up a line over in fire to disclose that more carefully. There are other things that come in here. I mean, years ago, this line had a huge uptick because we had that big macro burst and we needed somewhere to do repairs from. And that's why that sits there.
Councilman Lattison.
Thank you. To follow up on Councilman Muto's question, which is a good point, that line item, 18,400, contingency and finance. Mm-hmm. Can that contingency be used wherever?
It's at the
whatever?
Well, it's at the discretion of the finance director, right? So it's anything. Any emergency, the macro burst is a great example of that from, that was what, 8 years ago now? And that there was a huge uptick at the time. We needed somewhere to do all those repairs from, and we pulled it from here because we didn't have it budgeted somewhere else. So it's any sort of truly unexpected item that came up, a legal dispute about a fire station, that kind of thing.
When that contingency is dispersed, mm-hmm. are we notified of that and what that money was used for?
Yes.
Okay. How?
Well, it would depend on what the expense would be. First of all, you're welcome to ask for the detail of this whenever you like. But if it was something over the $2,500, you'd be notified. Of course, it would go out to bid for your approval. But sometimes things come up that, you know, truly are unbudgeted. You know, a pipe bursts. We need somewhere to pay the money out of. And it usually comes out of here.
Or it could be used for a compressor at the swimming pool or
if they didn't,
for anything, right?
If they did not have money for that, or McDermott, if they couldn't fund it this year, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other members of the council have any questions for the finance? All right. Any members of the public have any questions regarding the finance portion of the budget? Seeing none, we move on to Treasury, which is also on page 12. Councilman Lattiser, do you have a question? Because you're lit up.
Same three questions. Any new staff? Any less staff? Any raises beyond contractual? Nothing.
Zero, zero, zero.
Thank
the
you.
Only difference here is that I am taking a credit from finance over to Treasury, that $17,750, because it's actually one of the accountants doing the work. So we get a small credit from the Community Development Department. That's the only change.
Okay, thank you. That's it for now.
Any other questions regarding the Treasury portion of the budget? Councilman Muto.
So, Lynn, on the line item 100, sick time and other leave, we have money from 23, 24, and 25, but there's nothing allocated for 26. Is there a reason?
Yeah, we don't budget for sick time. We as somebody takes sick time, we will expense it to that line, but we take somebody's entire salary and just budget and straight into salaries. When you're out sick, you don't get an additional pay for that. So that
obviously that's a change then from previous years to this, because the last three previous years you have allocations in
so
those areas.
23 and 24, those are actual numbers, not budgeted numbers. Yeah. So historically, we don't actually budget for sick time. We don't budget for vacation time. We just budget for the salary in the department.
Any other members of the council have any questions regarding the treasury portion of the budget? Any members of the public have any questions regarding the treasury portion of the budget? Seeing none, we'll move on to the debt service portion of the budget, which is on page 13. Councilman Lattice.
On the item 2501, school bonds, the request for, well, let me back up. The projected is $4,630,000. That is the, I'll use round it out, $90 million of bonds that had already been approved?
Correct.
Okay. So the fiscal year 2026 request of $4,519,000, that is still indicative of those bonds, as opposed to including bonds for the two new schools.
So to look at the debt, you need to look at the principal and the interest together. Typically in a first year of a bond, we do an interest-only payment to kind of help ease the flow into the budget. So if you add those two components together, 2501 and 21501, that is the total that we will need to release the money on for the high schools and the current debt that we have.
And what?
And the current debt that we already are paying on.
Including
it includes old debt and new.
The 90 plus whatever.
Yeah, and it's including 170 after the groundbreaking.
And what is the number that you used for the 2026 bond debt for the new schools to come up with a number of roughly $8,500,000 in interest?
In order to get that amount, we used our current debt schedules that we have. And then we reached out to our bond council about $50 million of bands that we will do for this summer. And then in the fall, we'll go out and get the rest of the release of the loan. And it's the numbers that they gave us at the time. So it was about a month ago, whatever the interest rates were at that moment.
So what is the number that has been drawn down from the $350 million bond to date? Because that's going to drive the interest, right? And then my follow-up question is, what's the interest rate?
You released $27
million. $27
million?
We've
spent about $12
million. So to date, in fiscal year 2025, you're
correct,
talking $27
yes.
million.
You've released about, I think it's about $27 and then we spent about $12
million. Is that reflective in the $4,630,000?
Yes.
And the number, again, the number that you're using to calculate the interest in 2026 is how much? They've drawn down $27 million now. Mm-hmm. What is the number that is anticipated they're going to draw down for fiscal year 2026? And what is the interest rate that you have applied to that to get $8,500,000?
$170
million. $170
million? 4.3.
And 4.3, that's the current interest rate right now?
I don't know if it's to date, but it was as of about a month ago when we did the budget.
Yeah, yeah. When you were preparing the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, if the interest rate increases, this number is going to increase, right?
Potentially.
When they draw it down.
Yep.
And if there is any reduction in our bonding rate, that will also drive that number higher too, right?
It could.
Okay. That's all I have right now. Thank you. Thank you, Director.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I know there's been some discussion of this at other meetings as well, but when we're talking about phasing in the bond payments on the principal and also on the interest. Approximately over how many years is that being phased in over?
These numbers are based on 30, but we could do less, but these are based on 30.
Pardon me. I meant more in terms of when the city is increasing its payments towards the principal and interest as opposed to the total time of repayment, but rather, you know, when we're going on to that upward trajectory as opposed to when it's more stable and more baked into the budget, so to speak. I believe it's over the course of approximately 3 years or 4 years where we would be expecting an increase to debt, principal, and interest payments each year of somewhere, well, this year, for example, a little bit in excess of $4 million. And
it'll be a couple of years, be out till 28, yeah. We're going to release the money as slowly as we can, but we want to get the project done.
Okay, so approximately fiscal years 26, 27, and 28. Okay, and speaking of the bond rating, one of the factors that affects or may potentially affect the bond rating is the amount of money that the city has in its general fund, its fund balance, right?
Correct.
Okay. That's all for now. I'll yield to my colleagues.
Councilman Lattiser.
Director, did I just hear you say that this debt payment was based on a 30-year payback?
No, Peter's telling me it wasn't 30 years.
I'm sorry?
I mean, we've run at 20, 25, and 30. But remember, there's two components which Lynn talked about. We're going to do bands of $50 million probably in July or August to start to make the payments for the summer. And then $170 million is the plan right now in January. And that's, we're not going to have any principal payments until project completion because the state won't reimburse us until the project's completed. So it's going to be a long-term deal with no, that's the plan right now, with no principal payments for the first 3 years and then principal payments so that we can get reimbursement on them. But it was really based upon 4.3% 20-year amortization, but it's just interest.
So I understand all that. So I thought I had understood a 30-year payback because the bond that was voted on for $350 million calls for a 20-year payback, right?
The fiscal note that we did back then was based upon 20 years.
No, what do you mean that we did back then? We have a bond approval of $350 million.
It says up to 30 years.
And it's over 20 years.
The fiscal note was based upon 20 years, but the bond,
okay,
the bond documents authorize up to 30 years.
What this interest rate that we're talking about, that's what I'm calling on.
Based upon 20 years.
It's based upon 20 years. So this $8,497,000 is based upon a 20-year payback, not a 30.
Yes.
Okay.
Remember, the first 6 months is bands unrelated to the term. It's going to be six or seven-month bands, bond anticipation notes. Then that'll be refunded by the $170 million long-term debt, depending upon market conditions. So
I understand that, but there's a big, big difference to the taxpayers between a 30-year payback and a 20-year payback. So that's why I want to get it on correct. The record and clarified. We're talking 20 years, not 30. That makes a big difference to the people paying the bills.
The numbers were based upon 20-year amortization.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the council? Again, this is regarding the debt service portion of the budget. Any questions from members of the public regarding the debt service portion of the budget?
Barry Cook, 22-year resident of Warwick. I just want to go back on the discussion about the $27 million released $12 million has been spent. I'd like to know, where can the public, or myself, where can I see where the $12 million was actually spent? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
When we borrowed in September, we were borrowing for both elementary and middle projects, and I believe that's all spent. Correct me.
That's not what he's asking. Mr. Cook, I believe you can see that the school website.
I'm sorry. I don't have my hearing aid in.
This is how I gauge if I'm speaking loud enough with you. If you can't hear it, I have to speak louder. At the school department website, my chief of staff said that's where the expenses are.
Thank you. Easy answer. I appreciate it. I had a similar question to what Councilman Lattiser asked about the 30-year.
Can you speak into the mic, please, Mr. Cook?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I had a similar question to the question that Mr. Lattiser asked about the 30-year versus 20-year. And then I heard a lot of discussion back and forth, some of which I missed. So for my own purposes, I want to make clear in my mind, we're still talking about a 20-year payback. Is that correct?
This schedule was based upon 20-year payback, but it doesn't really make much difference in the first year because we're just paying interest. Councilman Lattice is correct. If we do long-term and have to pay off over 30 years, the cost will essentially be on paying for another 10 years or 5 years. And, I know, for example, New Rogers High School, they did 25 years. I believe the McCoy High School, they're talking 25 years. What I've seen is more 25-year deals recently.
Well, I'm a little confused, so let me see if I can figure this out in my own mind. For the first year, it's a 20-year payback calculation. Is that what you said?
This is the interest payment that would be due in fiscal year 26, around $2.7 million on a long-term bond and about $1.2 million on bands. The long-term cost of going a longer maturity, 25 or 30 years, will be in the out years.
Well, I guess it's easy to understand if you're in the finance business, but from a taxpayer's point of view, I'm going to leave the rostrum in a second confused. I'm hoping that the council people understand exactly all this back and forth and incrementals and long-term, short-term, this year, because it's confusing for the public. I have one other question relating to debt service. I recently read an article regarding the East Greenwich School Department. You brought up Rogers and something else. But I read an article about the East Greenwich School Department and the town approving budgets for the school building projects. One of the things I had a question about was, and I don't know that it's appropriate here, but I'll ask. They had a question about as relates to pay-go, that pay-go might not be available. And I know we've had discussions in the past about pay-go, how it affects our city. What am I missing about this discussion on pay-go? Can you answer the question?
Yeah, the state bond issue that the voters approved, they're paying pay-go to us right now on the high school project, which reduces the amount that we'll have to borrow. So we're not going to have to borrow $350 million. I think the figure is something like $23 million in pay-go. And maybe someone from the school department can, it's right in that range, that they'll be, for the first parts of the high school project, we'll be getting pay-go that will reduce the amount of borrowing we have to do during the initial year and a half or so.
I'm in fault for not wearing my hearing aid, so let me just make sure I understood what you said. So right now, we are receiving pay-go. Is that correct?
We're using a combination of the proceeds that we had from the bond issue in September of last year, and also the state has started making pay-go contributions for the project.
Going forward, is pay-go solid? Can we expect that to happen?
Yes. From my understanding, the state's issued the bonds. They have the proceeds in the bank, and they're just starting paying us on the high school projects just in the last month or so.
That's all I have. I'm leaving a little confused, but I started a little confused. So I'm not any worse off. Thank you.
Fair enough. Councilman Muto?
Just a question as far as the total impact on year-over-year budget for our interest and payment. So, you know, I'm terrible at numbers here, so I'm trying to figure out. So we're looking at a combination of $4.2 million increase from year-over-year on our debt service.
I think the mayor's budget message covers this. And we're really talking $4 million in an increased cost associated with the interest on the high school project.
So that percent, what I'm getting at is at the $4.2 million, when we're looking at a maximum tax increase or a tax increase,
absolutely,
that is making up about 50% of our...
Absolutely. And the mayor's message covers that in some detail.
Yep.
So and that's going to be the driver on this city budget for the next 2 or 3 years. Has to be.
Yep. Again, just trying to get clarification, make sure... you know, we're on the same page here. Yeah. And then the other part is just a clarification. Ultimately, when we're done with the bonding of the $350 million, are we going out for a 20-year bond?
That's a judgment to be made based upon the city's financial condition. I said there's clearly a lot of places out there the last 3 or 4 years that have been doing, for major projects, have been doing 25 years. 30 years has not been the standard. So I would think 25 years is more likely than 30. But we'll have to see what the yield, what the interest rates are at the time, what other the city condition is. We have authorization under the act that the council passed to go up to 30 years.
Okay. Well, I'll take that as a takeaway.
The numbers that I ran for the council before the referendum, in one disclosure I did a year ago, was based upon 20-year amortization, and that came out to annual debt service of around $13 million after the state reimbursement again. So after the project's completed, we're talking about estimated $13 million in additional costs for 20, 25 years on debt service.
Okay.
After the state reimbursement.
Okay. No, great. I understand that. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that my council members and the public understand when we're looking at budgets and we're voting on budgets that our debt service is truly driving what our limitations are.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Director, I'm just going to...
Not a director anymore, Mr. Councilman.
Past director, out of respect, seriously. I call you Peter if you want, whatever. So going back to the original bond.
Yes.
And the direction. The direction calls for 20 years. I don't think that the city can just arbitrarily or subjectively change that to 30 without getting prior approval.
Well, I mean, however, to your solicitor, I think he will confirm that the act that you passed authorized up to 30 years. The fiscal note best definitely was based upon 20 years.
Something new that I learned. But if you're doing an interest payback now based upon 30 years, isn't that the same as saying, well, I'm not going to pay for this highlighter today to save money, but I'm going to have to double up on the payment next year. If you're basing the interest payments now, currently, at longer than 30, isn't that actually driving up the end cost to the taxpayers?
Yes, but you always have to count on what other things are going on in the city. So,
and if we're paying back this 350, 400 million, wherever that number lands, at a 30-year payback versus a 20-year payback that was originally approved, that's going to increase that cost dramatically, isn't it?
Yes, and we've had our financial advisor has run tables on 20, 25, 30 years.
Right.
We have all that information.
But with all due respect, equally concerned about my financial advisors, which are the taxpayers. And that is a major difference in net costs. Thank you.
Any other council members have any questions regarding the debt service portion of the budget? Any other members of the public have any questions regarding the debt service portion of the budget?
About
can you just budgeting. Make sure to introduce yourself first? I apologize.
I'm sorry, Jim Italiani, Warwick. The debt service is going to be a major part of our budget. And since we really don't have a very good idea of how much these two schools are really going to cost us, it makes it relatively difficult to extrapolate any expenses. If we don't know what we're going to be paying for interest, it makes it a little more difficult. And if we don't know if it's 20 or 25 or 30 years, that's a difference of about 40%. So I'd like to know, with all these variances, how can you come up with a budget when we don't know any of the basic figures? And I got to tell you, as a taxpayer, I am absolutely horrified. Shame on all of you. Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser, is your light on just from before? No worries. Any other members of the public have any questions regarding the debt service portion of the budget? Seeing none, we move on to the city collector portion of the budget. That is on page 14.
Good evening, Kyla Jones, tax collector. We have one vacancy in our office that is funded.
Can you make sure to talk directly into that mic? I apologize.
Better?
Yep.
Okay. We have one vacancy. We have three contractual longevity increases and no other raise increase. There's no new positions and no deletion of positions.
Councilman Lattiser.
Hi, Director.
Hello.
So I think I heard you say that there are no raises beyond contractual or step.
Yes, we have three longevity increases in the department.
Right.
Yep, that's
but
all.
No raises beyond that.
That's correct.
Okay. So tell me about line 22323, tax sale, and why is the request this year 125,000, where last year it was 100. Your projected this year is 75. And I'm sure you know where I'm going with this, because I believe you were involved on the committee that I formed years ago about this very item, right?
Yes.
Is that what this is all about?
Well, I increased it slightly back to where it had been years past due to the fact that, you know, we're not seeing property sales as frequently right now as we had been seeing. Like, they're still pretty consistent, but every time someone either refinances or a property sells, everything gets paid during that closing. So that's been so frequent lately. Our tax sales were down the last 2 years, but I just want to make sure that we continue to keep them lower.
What percentage of the properties that could fall into the tax sale issue are representative of water and sewer bills?
At the start of the tax sale, because it takes 90 days legally from start to finish, at the 90 day, there's about three times the amount of properties in for utility than there are for delinquent taxes. I would say due to the fact that most property taxes are escrowed, unless your mortgage is paid off, a lot of lenders will not allow you to pay your own taxes. They force you into escrow. And the utility bills seem to be accruing faster for some people as they're having more people come live with them, hooking into the sewers. That seems to be one of those bills that people will put to the side until they absolutely have to make payment on it.
So today, or as best as you're aware, what is the outstanding liability due to the city with respect to water and sewer bills in millions?
Does water and sewer bills fall under this portion of the budget? Genuine question.
Well, it falls under tax sale, and that is what triggers the tax sale, is delinquent water sewer bills. If you'd prefer, I can leave that question when we get to the water department, but there is a reason driving this question.
I understand. I can double check for you and send it to you, but we're estimating possibly around $4 million.
Okay. Now, I'm gonna go back to a little bit in history. Because of this outrageous amount of delinquency in water tax and sewer tax bills, that's what caused me to form a tax sale committee. The result of that tax sale committee was, it was determined that the city was not sending out past due water sewer bills, not sending out shutoff notices, and people were just accumulating this indebtedness sometimes 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. We, at that time, if I remember correctly, it was somewhere around the same $4 million. Maybe less, might have been 3-ish. It was a huge number.
We were over $6 million when we started that in 2014.
We were what?
It was over $6 million when you...
Under $6 million?
Over.
Over $6 million. Okay. And if I recall, that got compressed down to less than $1 million. Because of the changes, sending out past due notices and sending out shutoff notices, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, we're long past COVID. I understand things get set aside because of COVID. And that's part of the reason why you've gone from less than $1 million back up to $4 million, which triggers additional costs in advertising, embarrassment for people, excessive costs to the taxpayers to do all this. Have we reinstated the yellow shutoff notices? I'm sorry, the yellow past due notices to these folks that are past due, and the water shutoff notices?
We have sent out delinquent yellow notices. We have not done shutoffs since COVID. I believe we need to get back on track, and now that we have a water director, we can further discuss going back to delinquencies, shutoffs. The water department has to have the staffing to do so.
Obviously, the changes that were implemented worked, and it reduced the liability by over $5 million, but equally important is it kept homeowners from getting in trouble, because we weren't doing what we should be doing. And I would hope that that policy get back on track real quick, because COVID's over, that's done. A $4 million deficit in water sewer bills is pretty concerning. Thank you.
Any other members of the council have anything for the city collector portion of the budget? Any members of the public have anything for the city collector portion of the budget?
Jim Italiani, and I would like to thank Councilman Lattiso and Muto, because I know you guys are working on that and you're looking at other sources of revenue, particularly city-owned properties that are just sitting there collecting interest in the future. We've talked about that. I would certainly like to look at that further, because just like you're saying, I think there's millions of dollars of collectible revenue simply from selling tax-owned and other city-owned properties. Thank you for your efforts, gentlemen.
Any other members of the public have anything regarding the city collector portion of the budget? Seeing none, next up is the city assessor portion of the budget, which appears on the same page, page 14.
Good evening. Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. We did have two retirements in the past year, so there's two current vacancies, but those are going to be filled shortly. Everything from a salary standpoint was contractual. But I'll answer any questions that you might have.
Anyone have any questions for the Councilman Lattice?
So the salary increase on line 23101, it's an increase of about $200,000. That is strictly contractual increases in step slash longevity increases?
I'm not sure what columns you're looking at. So we went from a revised 25 of...
I'm sorry, it's 23101, salaries municipal.
Yes, so we went from 723 million, thousand, excuse me, to 743, about 20,000.
I'm actually referring to the year-end projected of 546,599. Where did that difference,
so
how do you end up with that lesser amount of money than what was budgeted? The budget was 723,314, and your projection is 546,599. How were you able to reduce that? I mean, that's a good thing, but I'd like to know how you did it, because maybe we can teach that trick elsewhere.
So we had an open deputy tax assessor position the entire year, which we've had actually since I got here. But we also had two retirements, both the senior level. So those positions have not been filled yet, but one has recently been posted and the other one will be posted shortly.
So those two positions you're talking about, one not filled, one not posted, those are in, they're part of that 743 budget?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not like, you know, there's going to be an additional request for funding or a new position, correct?
No, and depending on who fills those positions, it might even be a little bit lower depending on their step increase that they qualify for.
Okay, I'll yield.
Councilman Nepo.
Thank you, Mr. President. Director, how long have those two positions been vacant?
I'm going to guess about 6 months. I don't know the exact period, but somewhere in that range.
Was that a senior appraiser and a senior assessment record specialist?
That's correct.
Okay. So those were vacant for the majority of the time you were doing your revaluation?
That's correct.
That's all I have.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. And it's my understanding that a significant amount of the work on the reval was still done in-house?
It was. Thankfully, the calls for the informal hearings were much lighter than we anticipated. We actually thought because of these two retirements, we were going to have to need additional services from the reval company, which they were ready to help us with, but we didn't need to invoke that clause in the contract.
That's wonderful. I can only imagine all of the long hours, extra late evenings that you stayed. Just want to thank you for your service. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Muto.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser's congratulations as saving money actually perked, you know, my question here. Well, I'm tough with math here. It doesn't look like a savings. I want to make sure I'm reading this properly. The projected for 2025 is 546,000, and the request for 2026 is 743.
Yeah. So again, the number, if you look in the 2025 original budget, was 723. That included a full complement, both retirements and also a deputy position. So you get three positions that are in the budget for the department that were not fully filled or even filled at all in some cases during fiscal year 25, but we do expect a full complement in fiscal 26.
Okay. So an increase of 20,000. Okay, thank you. I see it now. Thank you.
Any other members of the council have any questions regarding the city assessor portion of the budget? Any members of the public have any questions regarding the city assessor portion of the budget? Seeing none, we can move on to MIS. And that's on page 15.
Phil Carlucci, IT director. If it's acceptable, I'd like to address a couple of the line items that make up the majority of the increase contained in my fiscal year 2026 budget. First, with the salaries, there are only contractual increases in the salary. The difference, we had an open position last year. It remains open. We were able to stave it off using some help from interns and a couple of the local high school programs that we participated in. So that will show a difference between the projected for this year and the requested for next year. The other line item is the capital. The effect of not having the ARPA funds available to absorb a number of the annual projects. If you look, I have a $90,000 capital project listed on the budget sheet, and it has nothing next to it for fiscal year 2025, when actuality, we entered into about $150,000 worth of projects last year, this year. We were fortunate enough to have ARPA funds to cover off of that. The second line item, software maintenance, with an approximately $474,000 increase, makes up the majority of the overall budget increase. Each year, software providers routinely raise their rates between 10 and 18%, depending on the industry company's policy. I have tended toward the lower end of that at about 10%. That's $72,000 of that $474,000, approximately. That's not an exact number. In addition to that, I've included $36,000 of maintenance charges stemming from projects that took place in fiscal year 25. And finally, the majority of these increases, $366,500, come from new projects slated for fiscal year 2026 across the city. And once again, we do not have ARPA funds that have, for the last couple of years, been able to absorb that. And while I'd be happy to cover off on any of the individual items, there were three that I wanted to highlight. From the Warwick Police Department, their existing IMC system has reached the end of life. They, like a number of the municipality police departments across the state, are faced with moving on to a new package. They anticipate the time required to do this migration to be 6 months. And since the new project will, the new software will be a SaaS, a software as a service offering, you start paying for it as you start doing that migration. For that 6 months of service accounts for $112,000 of startup cost, and then first year operator, first 6 months operational costs. We will also be carrying the full amount for the software that we'll be using for the entirety of the year, 6 months of which will be during the migration. And for the entire city, the migration of our Microsoft Office back office, we have it on premise now. In October of this year, Microsoft is going to be removing support, meaning that our mail system would become security vulnerable going forward from October. I had originally not put this in because it is a security risk. My intention was to submit this to the federal cybersecurity grant program. I sit on that committee for the state, and I can tell you that at this point in time, it's a five-year program. We've gone through 2 years. At this point in time, the future years are suspect. The current federal administration is being scrutinizing to some degree all of the programs that they offer up. This is one of them. I was telling Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Napa in a conversation today that we meet on a monthly basis, and at the last meeting, the feedback was semi-positive. They have not withdrawn the third year on this yet. So my intention still is to go after it if that third year is actualized, to go after a grant for this $150,000, as opposed to just charging it off in the budget. And then third is our resident access program. It's more commonly referred to as citizen self-service. Excuse me, citizen self-service. This is a web-based program that the citizens use to look up their taxes and pay them if they like. There are no update supports on this from Tyler. There haven't been for about a year, and quite frankly, the application is cumbersome and very kind of difficult to follow. So they do have a new program once again. This program is a software as a service, so the costing on it is $25,000 installation just to set it up and get it up and running. But then there's a $19,000 annual cost that goes along with it. That program is, that's that cost of $19,000 is slightly higher than we see as just standard maintenance for software that we purchase up front. Those are the major items. And I will not miss the opportunity to remind the council once again, as I have done for the last several years, this unfortunately is the trend that software companies are going toward. When we go into the software as a service, as compared to purchasing them ourselves, as we've done in the past, these costs do increase, as you can see. Now, I'd be happy to answer any questions I can.
Councilman Lattiser.
Hi, Director.
Hello.
Thank you for meeting with me earlier today. That was very helpful in understanding why that significant increase was there. One of my questions was going to be to ask you to go over this list, but you have jumped the gun on me and stole all my thunder, and you've done that. On the miscellaneous capital credits, in 2023, you had a $761,224 item. And that was, if I understand it correctly, that was APRA monies, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And every year since, you have not plugged any APRA money in because you realized that when the APRA money is gone, it's gone.
Councilman, right? I apologize. I want to make sure that I'm looking at the right line item. Is this the miscellaneous department credits?
Miscellaneous capital credits.
Okay. For
somebody's sabotaging me, trying to get my
papers away. I don't want to sabotage you at all. Give me one second. Yes, you are correct. No sabotage there.
Okay. I just wanted to make that point clear that you knew when the APRA funds were used up, you can't continue. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you also for giving us the detailed breakdown sheet on that $474,500 increase on the software maintenance line item. And for, meeting in and meeting out, explaining these changes, these measures, and making sure that the city is following best practices. It is something where your department really does help the whole rest of the city operate efficiently, and really appreciate all of the work and the time that you put in, aside from well beyond the normal 40 hours a week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love my little lights. Just as a reminder. Any other members of the council have any questions for MIS? Any members of the public have any questions for MIS? Seeing none, we can move on to purchasing.
Thank you.
That's on page 15.
Good evening, Francis Gomez, Director of Purchasing. We We have no raises, only contractual, no new positions, no deletions of any positions. We have one position open, that's purchasing clerk, and that remains open under the recommendation by the mayor, and no longevity. We do have a new copying contract that MIS recommended. I budgeted that $26,340. That's about it.
Does any Councilman Lazar?
Hi, Director.
Hi.
You may have just said it and I may have missed it, but item 26340, service contracts, you've increased that to 1600. What are those service contracts?
MIS has a new bid for a copier machine for the whole city. So that's what I asked, what should I budget for that since it's a new contract and new service? And that's what MIS recommended was a 1600.
MIS recommended the number 1600?
Yes.
Okay, so if it goes over, you charge their budget, right?
Yes.
Okay. You have in miscellaneous department credits. What is that?
So previously, the purchasing department, before I became purchasing director, had more items in their stock room than before. And that process was, in a nutshell, people would order once a month and then get it delivered once a month. And now WB Mason, which is our main office supply vendor, does all the work for us. So we also shop around with other vendors, but it's the same thing where it's delivered directly to the department versus using city manpower to do that when we're already paying that. But I do still have minimal stock supply there. So when they need something that I have, they get it at a better price through me. But we haven't had anything too much coming from there.
And I'm glad to hear that because I know you haven't been here a long time, but for those department heads that have, they know that inventory has always been concerns and questions that I have, primarily with excessive inventories.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other members of the council have any questions for the purchasing portion of the budget? Any members of the public have any questions regarding the purchasing portion of the budget?